So the epistle for the fifth Sunday after Easter is taken from James chapter 1. Dearly beloved, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he shall be compared to a man beholding his own countenance in a glass. For he beheld himself and went his way, and presently forgot what manner of man he was. But he that hath looked into the perfect law of liberty, and hath continued therein, not becoming a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And if any man think himself to be religious, not bridling his tongue, but deceiving his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Religion clean and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their tribulation, and to keep oneself unspotted from this world. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 16. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples, "Amen, amen, I say to you, if you ask the Father anything in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in Proverbs. The hour cometh when I will no more speak to you in Proverbs, but will show you plainly of the Father. And that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not to you that I will ask the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father, and am come into the world. Again I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples say to him, "Behold, now thou speakest plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now we know that thou knowest all things, and thou needest not that any man should ask thee, but this we believe, that thou comest forth from God." Please be seated. So our second collection today is for Father Stalen and his work in Eastern Europe. So I do ask you to be very generous with Father, because Father has been very generous with his time. Most of you know Father has spent himself for your souls, for all of our souls, to the fact that he's almost losing his voice. So that's why I'm singing the Mass, but Father will preach the sermon and then he will give a conference downstairs. But as I say, he spent himself so much for our souls, so the least we can do is to try to help him in his work that he's doing in Eastern Europe. He covers many different countries, many different souls that he's trying to take care of. So Father will tell you more about that downstairs, so I do encourage everyone to make the time to listen to Father's conference downstairs. But as I say, with the second collection, I do ask you to be generous to Father, because he has done a lot for us. He preached the Marian retreat at St. Malo's, and then he came back and gave Marian conferences to those women that maybe weren't able to make the retreat. He preached a day of recollection for our upper school, a day of recollection for the men. And so now he's going to preach to you. So I do want to thank very much Father for all the work that he has done. I think it's fitting, as I said, that he came in the time period of May. Father is very devoted to the Immaculata. And so to try to give us a better understanding, a better devotion to Our Lady, I think it was very fitting that we had Father during this time. And Tuesday is the feast of the Queenship of Our Lady. It ends the month. And so, as St. Maximilian Kolbe had said, that we will give ourselves no rest until we place the whole world at the feet of our Queen. So I do encourage you to try to do the same with that. And so, if you are planning on giving a check, if you could make it out to either the Society of St. Pius X or to St. Isidore's, we'll be able to give Father just one, send him one lump sum, as opposed to having to go through with all the different checks, because obviously internationally it doesn't always work. So, as I mentioned, please be generous with that. Our Lady will reward you for your generosity in the work for that. So I want to thank Father for his time, and so Father will preach to you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear Reverend Father, dear faithful, in this month of May, we are obliged to understand the immense role of the Immaculata, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The Church wants us to consecrate the whole month in honor to Our Lady, and we have to know what is her immense role in our Christian life. So we tried to explain you during this week to many of you to find the way to God again, to Jesus Christ, to our holy Catholic faith through her. God came to us through Mary. And only with Mary and in Mary we can come back to God. She said in Fatima, "My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the way which leads to heaven. You and your souls and many others you will bring to her and through her to Jesus Christ." Remember also, dear faithful, what our Lord Jesus Christ told us. She will crush Satan's head. We are in these latter times of the world, in these horrible times of apostasy, where everything is inviting us to live in sin, to live far from God, to forget Him, and then fall into hell. Remember what Our Lady showed to little Jacinta in Fatima, that like raindrops, people fall into hell. And this must be also our concern. But if you understand the immense role of Mary, if you know that you must consecrate yourself to her as her child, because she is your mother, as her slave, because she is your queen and mistress, as her knight, because she is the true commander-in-chief of all Christian armies, we can only approach her if we know her. And therefore, let us be very much convinced that Our Lady certainly wants to transform our daily life and make this daily life more Christian. She has received all graces of conversion and of sanctification. The graces on conversion is that we convert, that we leave this world of sin, that we convert from darkness more and more, that from a man living in sin, we start to live in state of grace. When we are in state of grace, but we are yet very lazy, very superficial, very negligent, she brings us nearer, nearer to God, closer to God. And then she brings us to holiness. And for that we have been created. Remember that we have only a short time on earth, and nobody knows when it will be the end. Maybe tomorrow, maybe this year, maybe in some years, but certainly soon. And then what will happen? If you have received this immense grace that you can be here in this church, if you have received the immense grace that you have the Catholic faith, the truth of God, that you know God, then remember that you have a responsibility. God gives His graces not just for nothing. If you receive a gift, you have to give back this gift. So, how Our Lady transforms our life? Here we have the great example of Saint Louis Maria Grignion de Montfort and his total consecration to Mary, who teaches us, this saint, that we have to start to overthink all our daily activities and doings and transform them, to put Our Lady in that and ask her that everything what we do, from the morning to evening, from raising up in the morning up to going to bed in the evening, everything with Mary, in Mary, through Mary, and for Mary, that she brings that to Jesus Christ and that it is perfectly done with Jesus Christ. But now let us, however, let a little bit deeper reflect about this. What is in fact my life here on earth? We can say that our life is built up on three essential points. The first is, if we compare our life with a house, with a spiritual house, with a palace, you see, a palace, a beautiful house, a solid house must have solid foundations. The foundation is very important. However, this foundation you do not see. If there is no foundation, our Lord says, if it's built on sand, then the hurricanes will come and the earthquake and the house will crash because it had no foundation. What is the foundation of our life? It is the principles and the rules which lead our life. Now, you know, there can be two rules different. The whole world lives one rule. I do what I want. I am the master of my life. And they think, where I am come from, I don't know. Maybe something had created me. That's not interesting. For what I live? I live for money. I live for pleasure. I live to build a beautiful life on earth, and that's all. These are principles, and you know very well that these principles direct the personal and public life of almost all people on earth. And we have received other principles. And this is a grace. And what is the principle we have received, dear faithful? That we understand that we have been created by God, that we have received everything from God, and there is nothing in us which would not have been given by God at any moment, in any second, for anything. Dear faithful, think about this, these principles, that we know what a grace, what a joy. We know for what we live. We live not just for some years here on earth, and then you will get the food of the worms in the earth. No, it's not for that we live. We not live just for some years here on earth, and afterwards we will just finish. No, we will live for eternity. That is a principle which has to be in our mind and which should direct us. I have been created for heaven, for eternal life, for eternal bliss, for a life without end, for a joy without end, for an incredible light and incredible beauty without end. No tears again, no sickness, no death, but life, life, everlasting life. And this is the aim. And the way which brings me to this life is our holy Catholic faith. Everybody of us believes this, isn't that? If not, you wouldn't be here. But now ask yourself, in fact, do I direct my life according to these principles every day? Do I certainly think about that today each thing what I have, each atom of my body, each thought of my head, each act of my will, each word, each thought, each doing is gift from God? Do I think that I am dependent on Him on everything? Yes, on Sunday you will sing that and you will say, I believe that. But during the week, very, very often, we have this inconsequence, this lack of consequence, that we really don't direct and don't organize our life according to these principles. It's like somebody who wants to build a beautiful palace, a beautiful villa, house. He starts to build a foundation, and then he would build the house outside this foundation on sand. That is what we often do. And this is our concern. This is our horrible life of lack of duty consequence. We have to go to confession and to say to our Lord all time, each evening we have to say to Him, my Lord, I should live according to the principles, but today I lived so many times as if you would not even exist. I don't even think about you. Not to speak, to thank you for all what I receive, to adore you, to be dependent on you, and I want to be dependent on you. That means not my will, but your will be done. And worse yet, what I am doing when I think about my future, when I think about eternity, I am worried about my business, I am worried about my health, I am worried about my daily life, I am looking around, and what I see, the goal of my life is here on earth, now and here, what I have pleasures, what I have sorrows, and what I have problems to solve. And no thought about eternity. If then a trial will come, a difficulty will come, what will I do? I will just forget about God, and I will start to get depressed, or I get angry. Do you not get angry from time to time, or often? Why we are getting angry? We are getting angry because we are only thinking about our ego, what I want or what I will not receive, and I want to receive, and somebody will not give me what I want to receive, I get angry. Why we are in such depression from time to time? Because we would like to have something, we don't receive it, and so we get sad and depressed. And that is because we don't think that these trials, these sufferings, these humiliations maybe, or these difficult moments will make me advance on the way to eternity. So the people will just look on the today, maybe to the end of this year, maybe to the next years, and they forget to think about what is really at stake. And so they will approach, and suddenly death will come, and many of them will not be prepared. So you see, there must somebody who, even if we go to church, even we receive the sacraments, even if we want to love God, but our principles, our foundations is wrong, very often it's not in order. Our house where we built is just a ruin often. And if a first storm comes, what we just have built just crashes. So, my dear faithful, what do we have to do? Look, the Immaculata comes. She is the Immaculata Conceptio. What does this mean? You see, my dear faithful, we have the concern to celebrate the great feast of Our Lady, but we have also to understand what these great feasts have to do with my life. Immaculate Conception, what a great word, what a great grace. It's the beginning of the life of Our Lady on earth, without sin, no sin, totally pure, no original sin, and the whole life, no sin at all, totally addicted to God. Do you know what that means? That means that Our Lady, from the very beginning of her life, she was consequent. She had these principles, and she lived at any moment of her life according to these principles, without hesitation, without any waiting or something, totally, fully, at any moment, she lived that she everything has received from God. She always said, "Behold the handmaid, the slave of the Lord. I have received everything from you, and I belong to you." And each second of her life belonged to him. No moment when she said, would she say no to God. She was fully aware that she has to thank God for all what she has received. She was perfect in all thanksgiving. She was perfect in all adoration. She was perfect in giving God his rights. She was perfect in being totally in all things dependent on God. And this Our Lady, you think that she had done something for this poor earth, for this poor earthly life? She lived from heaven and she lived for heaven. She just wanted to join God back. She wanted to please God, and she desired the desire that all people would be saved. She had only one thought in her life, to go to heaven and to bring others to heaven. And this was everything in her life, to love God in order to be with him forever and ever. From God all unto God all, that was her life. And now, you see, when Our Lady comes into your life and you start to live with her, then suddenly something will happen. Remember, she is the Immaculate Conception. And Saint Maximilian says briefly, Immaculata. Immaculata, that means that now, little by little, if you start to live with her, with many ejaculatory prayers, with many thoughts with her, if you submit to her your thoughts, submit to your life, and so on, then little by little, she will correct what is wrong with you. She will make that more and more you will think about that, what you really are. You will think about that you are created from God. You will not behave like a liar and not live in an illusion, thinking that what the world says, that we are all on our own and there is no God, or this God is not taking care on us. So look, dear faithful, what she does. She makes you remember when you stand up this day from God and for God. And when you have a trial and we have a difficulty, you will immediately think, because she always thought that, oh, that's for my Lord. And anyway, if it is hardship now, even a catastrophe, all will pass. Eternity will remain. Then you will build your life on the true principles. And then the foundation of your life is solid. And that only Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception, will do in you when you will belong to her. But now, our life on earth is not only principle. We have to build our daily life. We have to build this palace. What is our daily life? What are we doing the whole day? Well, you know it very well. 86,400 seconds a day. That means that our heart is beating and we have so many thoughts a day. All these thoughts, if they should be okay, they should be in order, they should be thoughts of good and not of bad. Our thoughts, each thought, remember that you have received that thought from God and you should use it for God. Your thoughts, thousands a day. Your words, Each word which comes from our mouth is a gift from God. You have received this possibility to speak from God and only from Him. And therefore, you should use your language and to speak only for Him, to do good, to please God, to please the others, to do the good with your language. And your deeds and your activities and your hands and all what you are able to do, all that you have received, we have received from God, and also in order to praise God, to build the kingdom of God, to love God and to love the neighbor. That is for what we are have the daily thoughts, thousands of words, and thousands of doings. And now ask yourself, am I a Christian? Am I a Christian? Am I living in that way that I can say today, my God, my thoughts, my words, my doings, my activities, all that I received from you and was from you? It's a shame, dear faithful. We know it very well. Most of our thoughts, wasted time. Most of our thoughts, just stupidity, vanity, egoism, thinking, senseless thinking about this and about that, without any sense, without any goal, without any good. And our words, are all our words good? They edify the others, they bring others to God. You know very well that that is not the case at all. And our activities, that what we do with our hands, very often it's not for God. How many times these hands are clicking on a computer and then things come out of that which are horrible. And that is our life. So although this had to be corrected, are we Christians or not? We need help, we need a mother. And she comes. And here Our Lady comes as her Immaculate Heart. You know, the heart is the symbol of these activities of a day. The heart beats every second. And so Our Lady will come into our life, my Immaculate Heart. What she will do? Our Lady has received all graces, and she wants to give all graces what you need to you. And now imagine that God wants that each word, each thought, each movement of your life would get a special grace. That would become an immense act of love, of addiction, of humility, of faith, of abandoned to the will of God. It's not that. And we waste these graces, these actual graces of humility, actual graces of giving that to our Lord. We just waste them. 90-95% of these graces, we just throw them away. And now see, Our Lady comes. And when her heart starts to beat in our heart, then suddenly you will realize something. You will realize that your thoughts always more are directed not to the stupidities of this earth, not to the senseless gossiping and thinking what others do and thinking what will be and what has been and what is my life, but they will more and more think about that what is essential, about my salvation, about heaven, about the fight for Our Lady, about the good, about the glories, about the eternity, about all what is valuable. This is Our Lady which corrects your thoughts, and these thoughts will become more and more sane, and more saint, and more good, and more fit to God, and pleasing to God. The same thing with your words. I have seen it very much and very often in my life. When young children, for instance, they want to give themselves to God, they want to serve God, and they become Knights of the Immaculata, or they enter the Eucharistic Crusade. Then little by little, before they talk stupidities, sometimes, very often, they use these words for bad things, and what we know very well. And little by little, these young people, even having a very strong temper, very choleric, they got more and more silent. And they reflected about their words. You know what is our problem? We get angry, somebody says to us, and we immediately reply. We first speak, and then we think. And then we think, oh, if I would have thought before, I would have said something else better. That's our problem. And Our Lady will come and help us for this. She will now make similar now our speech, our doing, our speaking to her. She always, she didn't speak much, but what she spoke was perfect. And if you go, you give yourself to Our Lady, your speaking, what's coming out of your mouth will become more and more noble, will become more and more valuable. You will think more and more what you have to say to others. And then what's coming out of you will be great and for the eternity and for the good of the souls. And exactly the same with your activities. All will be corrected. So let the Immaculate Heart of Mary come in as a mediatrix of all graces. Believe that she has ready for you for each moment of your life a special grace which should bring you nearer to God and help to save many souls. And finally, our life is directed by our decisions. People have to make a decision. If not, if this morning you would not have had this decision to come to the church, you would have never had reached this church. Therefore, this decision is very important to have. We must decide. And very often in our life, we decide wrongly. We just decide our will because I want to do this now. I think that is fine, so I do. And afterwards you think, what did I decide? I should have thought before. If this is according to the will of God or not, does this what I am deciding about please God, or does this make God make sad and God will be sad about that? And we don't think about this. You organize our life without God. We decide for the future, for our holidays. We don't think about God. We decide about our job, maybe about what we read, what we look, what we do. Without thinking what is here the will of God. And there you see that we betray one great truth. On Sunday you sing Queen. And after tomorrow we have the feast of Mary, Queen. Queen of our lives. Queen of my soul. Beautiful words, but nothing in reality. What means Queen? Mary, our Queen. That means, my dear faithful, simply that I am her child, her subject. That I am her slave, that I am maybe her soldier, and I am her knight. The soldier has to hear what the commander says. The subject has to hear what the king says and the queen. That means if we want really to accept Our Lady as our queen, we have to submit her our will. And before we decide about our life, about our future, about our holidays, about the movies we will look, about the many things we will do during the day, about the conversations we will have, and about the cars we will buy and the houses we will construct, you will first please ask Our Lady, what's your will? What is your order? I want to obey you. Will this help me for eternity, or will be this a harm for eternity? Will this be good according to your will, or will this be against your will? Because you are my queen, and I want to be your subject and not a revolt deserter. I want to follow your will and not my will. You see, dear faithful, if you bring in Our Lady, the whole life will change from the basis, from the foundations up to the top. If then your decisions become more and more Christian, which means they become more according to the will of Christ through Mary, then your life will become great. Your life will get a sense, and you will start to realize that it is worthwhile to live in order to please God and to save souls. And if you have not that, we have lost everything. Let us ask so Our Lady, the Queen, in this end of month, of this month of May, that we will be really her devotees, that we really belong to her, that we understand that she gave us now for this time the last means of salvation. God gives us the heart of Mary, this Immaculate Heart. If we don't go to this source, to this way, we will be lost. But if we go this way, we will not be lost, but we will become saints. And that is the will of our Mother. She wants us to have with her in heaven for all eternity. You want to be happy forever? Go to Mary and you will be safe. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.